You're listening to the Turnipair Baseball Podcast. Let's go! Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Chris McLean. You can find us on Twitter at Turnipair Chris, on Instagram at Turnipair Baseball Podcast, and on YouTube at Turnipair Baseball Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podomatic, Google Play, or Apple Play. If you like this episode and you're new to our show, go back in the archives and check out our past interviews. If you really like the show, give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, and tell your friends. We'd also like it if you just sit back for a second, grab your phone, grab your computer, your tablet, whatever it is you're listening to this show on, unlock your screen, and open that player, whatever you're using, whether it's Google Play or iTunes, and click subscribe next to the Turnipair Baseball Podcast so you always know when our next episode is coming out. Plus, it helps us immensely. So yeah, that'd be great. On this week's episode, we welcome in newly drafted fourth-round draft pick for the Milwaukee Brewers, Joey Weimer. Super excited to talk to Joey about his draft that happened literally a week ago. By the time it's aired, about a week and a half, but it's so fresh. I'm so excited to hear about his draft experience, but also how he prepared for the draft, given that most of the time these guys have a season, and then right after the season ends, a couple days later, the draft happens. Well, obviously, we know that wasn't the case this year with COVID, with Safer at Home. And so how did he stay ready? How was he scouted? What was the interaction like with the clubs? Really anxious to hear how that went. Very excited. I can't wait. In the meantime, before we bring Joey in, I want to talk about last week's episode. Holy cow. Dimitri Kokoris. That dude has energy for days. And it's completely infectious. I was fired up after the episode. You have to go back and listen to it. Dimitri is the pitching coach for the Toronto Blue Jays. Most recently worked with the Vancouver Canadiens, their short season team. And that dude is so smart and so in tune with what he does in his profession. And he's got passion for days. If anything, it'll get you excited. If you don't care about it, the stuff he's talking about, it'll just get you excited. I'm telling you, go back and check that one out. The feedback we got from that one was like through the roof great. So go back and check that one out. But we've got Joey. Joey's on tap, and we're going to talk to Joey right now. On today's episode, we welcome in newly drafted fourth-round draft pick for the Milwaukee Brewers, outfielder Joey Weimer. Joey, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to have you on. I've actually never had someone on so close to the time they were drafted, so I'm super pumped to have you on and hear about your story while it's very fresh.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, you know, thanks again for having me. I've been trying to just, you know, get back to everyone that's reaching out. You know, I'm really thankful for, you know, all the well wishes, and even just, you know, fans in Milwaukee, just, you know, the DMs and tweets, you know, welcome to Milwaukee. I'm ready to get going.
Well, like I said before we started recording, I live just outside of Milwaukee, and the majority of the people that I talk to are Brewers fans. And they're very excited about the prospect of having you come up through the system and eventually play for the Brewers. So pretty cool, pretty exciting stuff. I think they're excited to hear about you and hear about your story. But man, usually this is a question that I wait till towards the end to ask, but it's so fresh. I wanna come out of the gate with it. Talk to me about draft day, man. What was it like hearing your name? How did you consume the draft, and how did you find out you were selected?
Yeah. So I'm not much of a worrier. I don't like to think about things too much, but, you know, I was up at like 5 a.m. On draft day, you know, just a little anxiety, a little stress, a little excitement, a big mix of everything. And the day went on, and, you know, I was just trying to keep my daily routine working, not think about it. I was playing some ping pong and pool over at my buddies. And then, you know, time finally came, and, know, sitting down, watching the draft, seeing some of my buddies get picked. And it was just, it was exciting. It was a great time with the family. Had a couple friends over. And then, you know, when it happened, it was surreal. It's something you can't really describe. You know, just a great feeling. And then just all the support and outreach, you know, ever since that day has been great.
So how did you, so you're watching it with friends and family. How did you find out that you were being picked? Did you see it on the TV first, or did you get the phone call first?
No, I had a phone call about 5 minutes prior from my advisor. And he was like, hey, man, you're a Brewer. He was like, get in there, get on the TV with your family. Because I was actually, well, kind of a funny story. I missed the phone call from him because I was playing cornhole. So,
nice.
Yeah, that's a little Midwest for you. But
I
even had my buddy send me a call right before. So I made sure my ringer was up because I was glued to my phone the entire day before. And I finally put it down, you know. Just trying to relax a little, not think about it. And then, you know, next thing you know, I looked down and said, missed call 2 minutes ago. I was like, oh my God. Then, you know, I called him right back. He answered right away and told me. And then we all, you know, the family and friends got together, sat down and watched it.
Did you win the game of cornhole that you were playing?
Oh, we didn't resume. we didn't get to finish it.
Yeah, I guess once you find out you're getting drafted, that the game of bags just kind of takes a back seat.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I thought about it the rest of the night.
How did you celebrate?
You know, just we were at my Uncle Joe's house. He was grilling, he was cooking. A bunch of buddies over. They had a big pool. We had probably played 30 games of pool basketball that night. So, just a lot of fun with the guys.
Nice. That's great to hear. So, have you ever been to Milwaukee?
I have not.
What do you know about Milwaukee?
I really don't know much. You know, I'm excited to learn a little bit about it, you know, get a feel for the city, get a little history behind it. And I'm actually, I think next week, I'm coming on up, you know, just for some pre-stuff, just before, you know, everything gets squared away with signing.
Yeah. Now, will you get a chance to actually hit at Miller Park when you're here?
I'm not sure, but I've heard good things about it being a hitting park. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Christian Yelich, he likes to hit here, so.
Yeah, he's done all right there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Our little league team just started practicing. We got the green light. We could start playing. But like 2 weeks ago, we had our first practice, and we went around and I asked every boy on the team who their favorite player was, and 11 of the 13 kids said Christian Yelich.
Yeah, that's no surprise there.
Yeah. Yeah, the only reason
not a knack on anyone else, but you know, it's hard. It's hard for that not to be your favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one kid right before he went, I said, "Does anyone know another player besides Christian Yelich?" And the very next kid was like, "My favorite player is Ryan Braun." I was like, "Oh, got him." And then my son said Javi Baez because, well, I told you why before we started recording.
That's
all right though. He still likes Christian Yelich. Anyway, So what do you want to know about Milwaukee, man? You've got a guy who's lived here for 15 years.
Yeah, kind of just I know it's right on the water, right?
It is, right on Lake Michigan. Yeah. It's great.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I'm on the other side of Lake Michigan, but
yep.
So kind of just, you know, what's the feel of the city? I've tried to. There's only so much you can learn on the internet. Just kind of seems like, you know, your typical Midwestern blue collar, you know, city.
You're right. It is. Here's what I say about Milwaukee. And all of my, like the first time I came to Milwaukee, this is what I thought. All my friends that have come to visit, anytime someone comes here for the first time, they think, man, this little city that I never think about is a gem. It's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
Right on the lake, great downtown. There's great restaurants in the city. There's a ton of stuff to do. It's a great summer city. I mean, right now, obviously, you know, everything's closed. But under normal circumstances, you've got a two-week-long festival, Summerfest, which is, if you like music and being around a lot of people, Summerfest is amazing. But there's ethnic festivals every weekend. It's a ton of fun. It's a great place to be. A lot of history here. It's a town that at one point was sort of like on the downward trend, but it's in the last 25 years or so, it's really coming back. I mean, it's back. It's not coming back. It's back.
Yeah.
And it's in great shape. And if you like beer, There is so much good beer here in Milwaukee. In fact, I am drinking a Raised Grain Naked Threesome IPA right now. It is fantastic. I'm going to have to drink it slow because it's 8%. So
nice.
So if I start slipping towards the end, everyone will know why.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So you get drafted, and then I see Kevin Youkilis sends you a congratulatory tweet. That's awesome.
He's been great. Just alumni. He's always back at the golf outings. And he was, he talked to us before our game in Corvallis. We were up at Oregon State. And, he's always been hands-on with the guys. So it's really awesome to have, someone like that sticks around, even with, the lengthy great career he's had. He's not too much up about himself. Pretty humble guy, so.
That's great to hear, yeah. So, we'll get to that story in Corvallis, which is an awesome story. But were there any other, high-profile, big-name guys or people you were just super excited about that reached out to you?
There's some alum from UC that are doing stuff in the pros that, even though it might have been some of the guys that I played with, that you still look up to,
right?
Especially guys that were junior seniors and I was a freshman in the program, kind of showed me the ropes and that I'm forever thankful for.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to hear that the guys who have been, the guys who came before you are still paying attention and still showing love. So that's awesome. This year was so weird with the fact that, you have to play a couple of games and then the season gets banged essentially.
Yeah, that wasn't great. It's not the way you want to go out with the guys.
No.
Especially, I wouldn't trade, the draft pick for the world. But it sucks going out. I don't get to go out that, defending our title with the guys. And I'll never get to play with those guys again. Maybe, but never wearing a Cincinnati uniform. Right. So that's kind of tough, but it's life. You go on.
So it's interesting because most guys that get drafted, they play their season. And even if you don't make the NCAA tournament, the gap between the end of your conference tournament to the draft is not, a couple weeks at most, right? 2 weeks, maybe. If you make the tournament, you get drafted, right after regionals. But you had this huge gap between your last game and the draft. And then there was uncertainty for a period of time in that. How did you stay loose? How did you stay ready? And what was the scouting process like and sort of that information gathering process that teams are doing with you? What was that like?
Yeah, so I've always been just kind of nose down, keep working. I don't care to, read rankings or reports, that much. And it, like I said, it was just every day keeping your same routine, not worrying about it, not stressing. Even though, my mom may have asked me 1 or 15 or 20 questions a day about it.
That's what mom's
for. It was just, keep working, keep your mind off it, and it'll play out. But the scouting side of it was a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of just staying in touch, checking in, how you doing, how you feeling. Just a lot of, touch and feel stuff like that.
You don't have to out the team or anything, but who was like the most, were there any teams that had really weird questions? I've heard things, especially in the NFL draft, where guys get asked some really just off the wall questions, mainly to see how they react. Did you get any of that sort of thing during the courting process?
Yeah. There's definitely some questionnaires and stuff where it's like, maybe this plays into some algorithm, but I don't know, what this means. Would I return a shopping cart if it was sitting there? That's one that's kind of stuck. It's like the shopping cart question is, you just got done grocery shopping, you get to put the cart back, are you gonna leave it for someone else to put back? And I was like, I don't know, I'd probably just put it back.
That's funny. I get really annoyed when I see people just leave the cart in the middle of the parking lot. It's like,
just put it back.
Yeah, the walk is probably like, 20 yards at most to the return rack or to the store. Like, sometimes I get real, real daring, and I just take it all the way back to the store.
Yeah, I don't even know who would – I don't even know who that weeds out because, even if you're someone that doesn't put the cart back, you're not going to tell, the brewers, you're not going to say, no, I don't care, someone else can do it. everyone's going to answer the same thing on that. So I don't know. I don't hold any grief with it, but like, there's some questions that I'm like, okay, I'll just answer this.
That's funny. So I've got to talk about the hair.
Bad news.
You cut it.
It's gone.
But man, that flow.
A weight came off my head.
The what?
I said a weight came off my head. But I've been weighing options. I might have to bring it back.
I mean, yeah. I vote yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't know if I'm gonna let it get that long again, but I think I'm gonna bring it back.
Well, you went from like, you know, there's baseball flow, which, you know, if you really pay attention, there's a distinct difference between baseball flow and hockey flow.
Yeah.
And I think you were like, you were working on the hockey flow. Like,
yeah, I was toeing the line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay though. I mean, have you ever seen the video they put out? The Minnesota State Championship puts out it like the thing. Basically, if you're, you know, high school kids can't shave.
Yeah, all the guys skating up,
yeah,
showing their hair.
Yeah,
I've seen
that's
that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When I saw the videos of your hair like at full throttle, I was like, man, he would fit in right with those guys in Minnesota hockey.
Yeah.
I think you should, yeah, grow it back, shave the sides, just go full.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm gonna.
Full Kenny Powers.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that, Kenny Powers, because I don't know if you recognize the name Cale Baker. He was a four hitter at Ole Miss this year. He's a stud.
Okay.
But
the
he was
name sounds familiar, but yeah, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, he had a couple home runs opening weekend at when they were at Louisville.
Okay.
He kind of blew up a little bit. He's on foul pole and stuff, but you know, he gets those Kenny Powers. He actually looks like him. So it's funny because we were roommates freshman year at Cincinnati, and then it didn't turn out for him there. And then he went JUCO, and yeah, I don't. If you want to look up his numbers, it is crazy. I mean, I think he won the JUCO Triple Crown Player of the Year. All that, it was stupid. And then he ended up at Ole Miss.
I'll check him out for sure, especially if he looks like Kenny Powers.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He rocks his shades with it.
I always say, man, if I got to a play, like I have to like dress, you know, wear like a collared shirt and, you know, kind of like wear a suit to work every day and look presentable. If I like won the lottery and I didn't have to go to work, I've always told my wife this, I'm not shaving and I'm not cutting my hair. I'm letting that thing just rock way down my back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm with that, but not the shaving part. I can't really grow facial hair. I'm still kind of like a 13-year-old in that sense. It does not look good.
I mean, I can't promise you that I'm going to have like a full, awesome, manly beard myself, but I'll sure as heck try.
Yeah.
I can grow a nice mustache and the like goatee action in the neck, but like the cheeks, I'm with you. I'm like a 13-year-old.
Yeah. I've been working on this mustache for like 2.5 months now, and I think you're just starting to be able to see it a little bit. So.
Well, you have blonde hair, which makes
yeah,
it harder
it's
to
super
see.
Blonde.
Yeah. See, I have a lot of gray hair now, but my mustache comes in blonde and red. So
yeah.
It's got to be
mine
real
gets a little red.
See it,
yeah,
yeah. Well, we're maybe between the two of us, we can grow a full beard.
We can try.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm really happy to hear that you're gonna grow your hair back. That makes me feel good. I might have to, yeah. That'll inch me towards maybe rooting for the Brewers a little bit.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Temperance, Michigan.
Temperance, Michigan.
Yeah, which is actually not too far from, I think it's Monroe, Michigan, right? Maybe like 20
minutes.
Okay,
yeah, that was my rival high school.
All right, well, do you know the name Bryce Windham?
I do.
Bryce Windham was a guest on my show like 2 weeks ago.
No way. Yeah,
yeah.
He's a Cubby now.
He's a Cubby. Yeah, there we go. Cubs, Brewers,
yeah.
You know, we got it.
Yeah,
going on
so
here.
He's a couple of years older than me, I think. Maybe three or four.
Yeah, he was a senior. His story's wild, man. I don't know how much you followed him in college, but he basically was like a Ben Zobrist type in college. He played everywhere. Shortstop was his primary position. His coach called him going into his senior year and was like, "Hey, man, our catcher just quit, so we think you're the best option to play catcher." And he had no real pro prospects, you know.
Yeah.
It was basically graduate and go on to, you know, go back home, and he was going to coach with his dad. But he became a catcher and was awesome. And the Cubs drafted him, and he had a really good rookie season last year. So, you know,
yeah.
he's going to work his way up through the system nicely. But pretty wild story. So two guys from from Southeast Michigan, like almost back-to-back, pretty wild.
He's a hell of an athlete, too. You talk to him about, you know, basketball. I think he played football, too, right?
Yeah, he won a state title as a quarterback in football.
Yeah.
He had a basketball scholarship that he turned – like, he committed to play basketball at Toledo.
Yeah.
And he turned it down, and he was going to go to shoot, I forgot the name of the school. It's in Michigan. It starts with an A. D3. Adrian.
Okay.
He was going to go to Adrian College. If they would have let him play football, baseball, and basketball, he would have gone to Adrian. But they did. They didn't. They didn't. They said you could only play two, so he went to Old Dominion instead. But and it worked out really well for him because now he's a pro baseball player. I don't know if.
Yeah, that's a solid trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, but you're no slouch yourself in terms of playing other sports. I read you played a couple years of basketball. You played a couple years of football. Give us a scouting report on the hardwood and on the gridiron.
So I'll start with football. You know, I was really mainly a football guy growing up. Just kind of the area where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, there's 3,500 people at a football game, and there's, you know, 35 at a baseball game, and it's snowing half the time. You know, not that, you know, I love baseball. I love it to death. You know, it was my career path, always was. But just for the sake of, you know, high school during that time, I absolutely love football. You know, 2 days with the guys, a lot of. So, yeah, that was fun. You know, we were in the triple option. So, even though I played quarterback, it wasn't really a quarterback. I was more of a running back.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, basketball. I mean, I love playing basketball, too. Just, you know, any form of competition, you know, I'm here to win. I'm treating everything like the Super Bowl. But, I was a multi-sport guy. But man, the summers were baseball. I always knew, you know, I had probably more football interest, I'd say, than I did baseball, just from colleges. But you know, I'd always tell them, you know, I think I'm gonna be a baseball player, a lot of, and then I got that offer from UC, and you know, after weighing some options, I was like, yeah, you know, UC's the place. I'm ready to get going there.
What was the football school that at least just reached out to you that got you the most excited, that like really perked you up?
Probably Toledo, just because they were gonna let me do both. Yeah, so they were gonna let me do both there. So that was really was like I almost went to Toledo just because I was probably gonna play both. But then I was like, you know, I can try to be a dual sport athlete, or I can focus and, you know, refine my skill in baseball, because I knew I had a lot of work to do with baseball. I know I had the tools for it and everything, but it was just, you know, fine refinement of the skill.
So what about basketball?
I absolutely loved playing basketball. I didn't have any offers or anything like that. But I played my freshman year, and then I was pretty skinny in high school. I don't know if, you know, when you did your little digging, if you saw any pictures of me, but I was probably going into my sophomore year, probably 6'3", 180-ish.
We're all skinny in high school.
Yeah, but I really realized the need to kind of just focus on weightlifting and stuff during that time. So I didn't play basketball my sophomore or junior year. And then, you know, senior year was kind of that final hurrah. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go play basketball. And then that was great.
So when you were trying to bulk up, you're lifting, right? Are you also focused on your diet, or is it just
pumping iron? I'm not a big eater. Not that that's a good thing or a bad thing. But you know, I gotta force myself to eat most of the time.
Really?
So when I was putting on weight, it was really focusing on, you know, getting a lot of carbs, getting a lot of protein, and just eating pretty clean.
Yeah. So how did your diet evolve in your time while you were in Cincinnati?
It was nice having the unlimited swipes, you know, with the cafeteria and stuff. So that was nice. I was able to get, you know, everything I needed to be ready for the next day, you know, load up. So that was, it's kind of just been, you know, not eat as much as I can, but eat as much as I can cleanly, to put good weight on.
So I've got to ask, so you're from Southeast Michigan, but you spent 3 years in Cincinnati. On a Saturday afternoon in the fall, are you wearing maize and blue, green and white, or scarlet and gray?
No, absolutely not Ohio State. Never, ever, ever Ohio State.
I kind of thought that's the answer you'd
give
there.
No, absolutely not Ohio State ever. But no, I was a Michigan fan growing up.
Okay.
But then once I got to UC, even just when I committed, you know, I've been a Bearcat fan and I always will be now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess Cincinnati's football team is good enough that you could root for Cincinnati.
I don't care if they went 0-12 every year, I'd be a Bearcat fan now.
Yeah. Well, that was me, right? I grew up in Northwest Indiana, right outside of Chicago, but not too far from Notre Dame. I did not like Notre Dame. I do now. I don't know. I guess I had to move away to like them. But I went to Indiana. But Indiana's football is, most part, is pretty bad. It's gotten a lot better, actually.
Yeah, it's gotten better.
It's kind of crazy, man. I get texts all the time from my buddies who still live in Indiana. They're really close to it. And they're like, oh, dude, we just got this 4-star guy. And I'm like, Indiana signing 4-star football players? Come on now.
And he's got to be from Indiana or something.
No, like getting 4-star guys from out of state.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. I mean, they went to a bowl game last year. We're on the come up. But I was an Ohio State fan. And then once I went to college, I was like, one Ohio State game at Indiana, and that changed. I was like, nope, I'm all I was already, you know, Indiana. But now it's like, on Saturdays, I get myself all worked up over Indiana football games. So you can imagine my Saturdays, I'm usually pretty pissed off.
Yeah, they're probably not great.
No, they actually were on the – they were like – towards the end of the season even, they were in that others receiving votes section, which for Indiana football, man, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a come up.
Yep, absolutely. So let's go back to Cincinnati. So you end up at Cincinnati. What was it about University of Cincinnati that led you down there?
Yeah, the facilities were great. The opportunity, you know, financially, really fit, you know, what, not even what I wanted, but really kind of what I needed in order to be able to go out of state and play ball. Conference was great. And it's weird for me to say coaching staff now because I didn't come in with the same coaching staff that I was offered by. But kind of just everything fit. I really, really, really liked the city. And, you know, that's kind of it. I thought it was a perfect fit for me, and you know, I was ready to get committed and get going.
Well, you had a nice run at Cincinnati, no doubt about it. You know, you were there for 3 years. 2 years, you were an all AAC selection in 2018, in 2019. Did they have a team, like an all AAC team in 2020?
I don't believe so. They might have.
I mean,
I'm not actually.
I don't know.
Not 100% sure.
There wasn't a whole lot to base it on. But so
thank you.
Oh,
sorry, someone just pulled up and
no worries.
Yeah, no. So I'm in the driveway right now. Someone just drove by and stopped and a little congratulations. So
oh, nice. Well, that's good. We'd like to hear that.
Yeah. Could you repeat that question by chance?
Oh no, I was just gonna say. So your time in Cincinnati. You know, you're there for 3 years. I am familiar with the city a little bit. I've been there a couple times. When I was in college, I had a friend that lived there, went to Xavier. So I didn't hang out on Cincinnati's campus.
Ah,
yeah. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have brought up Xavier.
You're
0
for 2 right now with OSU and Xavier.
I know. Well, I don't like either one of them. I just, you know, you make mistakes when you're young, right?
Yeah.
But man, you got Skyline Chili, you got Grater's Ice Cream, all those good things. I'm very familiar with those two things. Do you eat a lot of Skyline Chili?
You know, I really didn't go over there a ton, probably 6-7 times.
It's not very healthy.
There was not very healthy. Two, there was just, we had food close to us and we go to the grocery store and cook up at home a lot. So,
okay.
Yeah, especially not until, you know, this last junior year, none of my really like closer buddies that I lived with had cars. So we weren't really driving over there.
Yeah. Are there no Skyline Chili's around?
Well, there's one, but it's on the other side of campus, and
okay.
We lived a little bit off campus,
yeah.
The other way, so it would have been a hike. We would have walked there.
Yeah, yeah. There's no need to walk, just you know, yeah. So, all right, let's talk about Cincinnati. I don't know much about it. What's the scene like in Cincinnati? Set the stage for us, not baseball, but like entertainment. What do you where are you going? Where are you hanging out on a Friday or a Saturday night? What are the go-to spots?
Oh, Friday or Saturday night, I am. I was probably in my room playing Fortnite, to be honest.
That's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, but No, there's a lot to do. The downtown scene's great. Just the people, everyone loves. It's a pretty social city, so there's a lot to do there. It's a really, it's a really fun place. It's cool.
You know, you Southeast Michigan guys have a lot in common. So Bryce ran the wing T. You ran the triple option.
We ran the triple option, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, quarterbacks are running the ball like crazy. I asked Bryce the same thing about college. Bryce is like, when my buddies would go to parties, I would jump the fence at the baseball facility and I'd go work on drills.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of just where we come from. I'm all about, having a good time, but I'm not really a social butterfly.
Yeah.
Kind of just, I'm growing up in a town with 3,500 people. Not that I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's not like in the weekends here, we're going out. It's, me and a couple of buddies hanging out. Like, that's what I'm doing right now. Prior to I had this call, I'm sitting in the basement with him playing ping pong.
There you go. Well, that's good. That's probably what, as you continue to improve and work on your game through college, staying focused and locked in is probably what helps you get drafted in the fourth round. If you're out partying, you're probably not getting, you're probably not as focused and you're not drafted in the fourth round. So
100%.
Smart move on your part. That's why I didn't get drafted. It had nothing to do with skills. I was too worried about partying.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be that guy who's like, oh yeah, I was a sprained ankle away from making the big leagues.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That wasn't
I was gonna say knee, but sprained ankle works.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would. Me on my best day was yeah. But I played, got my high school cuts in, but that was the extent of my career and I knew it. Nothing beyond that. So you've got your college run, you go two AACs, but let's talk about the NCAA tournament. You mentioned it earlier. You guys make the tournament. You go to Corvallis in 2019, and you've got to play Oregon State on their field. Most people are thinking they don't have a shot in hell. What were you guys thinking going into that game?
We were red hot. And, even if we weren't, we believe in ourselves. We work our ass off. It was kind of, our mantra, just blue collar, put in the work, guys. But we couldn't lose at that point. I don't know if you saw our tournament run. Our bats were absolutely on fire, and we were pitching the hell out of it.
Yeah, and it was kind of 15 runs in the championship game?
22, I think.
22. Okay. Yeah. Well, 15 is a lot. 22 is a hell of a lot.
Yeah, but no, we were 100% prepared. Stage didn't matter. It was just going out there and having fun. And then, that game started. And, not that we don't have the biggest fan base that you see, but it wasn't like, what we see up at Cincinnati fan-wise. So it juiced us up a little bit, playing in front of the, the number of people they had there.
Was that the most wild atmosphere you ever played in front of?
Probably, yeah. ECU comes close, but it's just because they're right on top of you. You know, I'm in left field. And, what they're saying to me still sticks in my head. They had little, like 10-year-olds screaming at me. I was eating pocket lint out of my back pocket because I had seeds in my back pocket. There was just little kids all over me all weekend. It was funny.
What were they saying to you?
Just, the one little kid, he kept telling me I was eating pocket lint.
Oh, he said you're eating pocket lint.
I was like, I don't know what you were talking about, bro. Because he was just... But no, he's funny. It was a good time with them, just screaming at me.
That's awesome.
I like that stuff. I like playing in front of crowds. You're crazy if you don't.
Yeah, I've heard Florida State's like that. Like you go play there, and they have every intimate detail. They've gone through your Twitter, your Instagram. Like they've gone through everything, and they're ready to pull everything they can and throw it at you when you're going up to the plate or you're out in the field. It's like, man, that's priceless.
Yeah, we must have not been important enough for them because I didn't get a ton of flack out there.
At Florida State?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe that's like a conference thing.
Yeah.
They tear you up. I forgot who I talked to. Someone I talked to that I had on the show told me about playing at Florida State, and they were like, yeah, man, they were pulling stuff out about like my high school girlfriend. Damn.
Yeah.
They did some digging on you guys.
Yeah.
So – you get drafted. Well, before the draft, right? Let's talk about that. I'm always interested to hear about the scouting process. At what point in college did you start to get the sense that, all right, I'm probably going to get drafted. I'm a pro prospect. I've got scouts starting to talk to me. When did that start to happen for you?
Probably out in the Cape. You know, I credit the Cape with a lot. You know, they did so much for me out there. I'm really thankful with the platform it, you know, it supplied me. My host family was great. Team was awesome. Coach, he was, you know, he's second to none. But yeah, that's kind of when I knew. I mean, you always bet on yourself. I always knew, you know, I had it in me, but that really kind of made me aware that, you know, I'm playing with the best of the best, you know, and I'm standing out. So, I feel like that's kind of really when it set in that, you know, I'm a guy for next year.
So you wore 16 when you were out there, and I read that you wore that number to honor one of the game's greats. Now that was that was my high school baseball number. I'm assuming you're not talking about me. who's the 16 you're honoring?
I don't know if you saw on that picture. That's the one from my Instagram, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So my best friend at UC, Dondre Bremner, he wears it.
Okay.
So yeah, when I was out there, I didn't have a choice at 26, and I saw 16. I'm like, all right, now I'll wear it. I'll let Dre know.
That's awesome. Showing love to your buddies. I like that.
Yeah.
So I read somewhere you've got a mid-90s fastball. Like, you can throw that hard.
Yeah. I was up to 98 this spring.
High 90s.
Yeah, well, I don't sit there. I wish I did. But, yeah, I probably sit around 93, 90, 95, 96-ish.
And
you're not a pitcher. I don't know if I have a track man to verify that. The pitching story is a little funny. So not that it was an official two-way offer, but with the old coaching staff, I mean, he had seen me pitch. He told me, he's like, you know, we're going to give you a shot on the throw here too. We want you mainly as an outfielder. And I got there, but Coach Neal was the coach at the time. He was the head coach. And then all that stuff went on. And then he got fired or resigned. I'm not even sure all the details on that right now. But then Coach Coogan's and the new staff came in. And it was kind of, you know, you're going to be an outfielder. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever. I just want to play.
Yeah.
And I always picked at him, you know, let me throw a pen. And then the end of my sophomore, not the end, but like kind of towards the second half of the season, my sophomore year, we had some arms go down. We were getting kind of thin in the pen, you know, season's wearing on. And finally let me throw a pen. And I was like, all right, like, let's get the ref Soto. and then I hit 96 in that first pen. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe we let you throw.
Is it 96 with control, or is it 96 and the batter's like, get me the hell out of this box?
Oh, probably right now the batter's like, get me the hell out of this box. but I think with time, I really gained a lot more control. And the off speed's come a long way. So I don't know what the plan is right now with that. I haven't really talked about it a ton with them. But I mean, if they toss me a ball and say, here, throw a bullpen, I mean, yeah, I'm game.
Yeah,
so,
I was gonna ask what
you know, whatever's gonna get me to Milwaukee, you know, I'm willing to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, bring you in, and you know, you and Hader can be the back end of the bullpen, and you know, maybe you can pinch hit every once in a while, hit some bombs.
Yeah.
You'd be a legend. But,
I see myself as an outfielder.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a nice card to have in the back pocket.
Yeah. Well, there's a Milwaukee, a famous, well, he's, I mean, I wouldn't say he's famous, but was an outfielder and then became a pitcher and was an outfielder for the Cubs, didn't quite make it. He was once a top prospect, fizzled out, came back as a pitcher. Brooks Kieschnick was his name. And I think he made it. He might have made it back to the big leagues with the Brewers. But anyway, interesting story. But he was an outfielder who had pop, and that's the Brooks Kieschnick story from the 90s. So what's the plan? I mean, I baseball, who knows what's going to happen. I think they're going to come back and play at some point. But what if the Brewers said is the plan for you? Are you going to – I know you mentioned you're going to come to Milwaukee, you know, take care of some business more than likely. But after that, are you going to go out to Arizona? Are you going to go back home? What's the plan?
So I haven't had a ton of, you know, official, you know, here's the timeline, here's the schedule yet. And that's just because of the uncertainty. You know, there's more questions than answers right now. So you know, I wish I could tell you, I wish I knew myself.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said earlier, I'll let the higher ups deal with that. You know, I just right now I'm just keep working. You know, keep my head down, keep getting better every day.
So are you able to throw and hit and do all those things right now?
Yeah, I've got a great group of friends around me. My buddy Joey has been throwing me BP every day. I've been able to see live a couple times, and then I've even mixed in a pen or two. You know, just kind of keeping that loose just in case. Yeah. So yeah, it's been great. You know, being able to lift, being able to throw, hit, run, just you know, do all the daily things.
Yeah. Are you able to like take fly balls and in the outfield and stuff?
I haven't really taken a bunch, but you know, I talk about working hard. All that, but outfield's been something that's come pretty easy to me.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, it sounds weird for me to say, because like I said, I practice and preach all that stuff. But you know, outfield, I feel like it's something that if I didn't even pick up a glove for, you know, 10 years, and then you want to hit me some fly balls, I'll be tracking stuff the same.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, listen, I got one more question before we get into these rapid fire questions here. I noticed that when you get on base, usually extra base hits, you do this air guitar thing. What's up with that? Where did that start? Is that a team thing or is that a you thing?
That one's kind of a me thing. We all have our little celebrations and stuff. And if you want me to spice it up a little bit.
Let's do it. Air
guitar is kind of what caused my favorite college baseball memory. And going back to that Corvallis regional, you know, my first at bat, and I'm not going to act like I hit a double off the ball because I literally end-capped a ball, and it found a way to fall between the shortstop and the left fielder.
On the stat sheet, it was a double off the ball.
Yeah, stat sheet, it's a double. Yep. So, you know, I had to hit that little air guitar, and, you know, the fan base out there, they weren't having it. They didn't like it that much. I had some booze right down, a lot of, and then I come up again, I think, in the third inning. You know, I have the RBI double down the line, and then I hit the air guitar again. And they were on my ass immediately, letting me hear it. Yeah. And then, you know, no at bat's meaningless. But I come up in I think it was about the fifth. And, you know, I'm walking up. There's no one on. There's one down. The game's not stagnant, but, you know, nothing's happened in about a couple innings. So, you know, no one's really super into it and yelling at the time. And I walk up and they were just, you know, they were on me. You know, everyone's on their feet. They're screaming at me. I get down 0-2, and then I come back, you know, I get up 3-2, and then I strike out.
Oh.
And, like, this is my favorite part, you know, but I strike out, and I'm walking back, and, you know, they're all air guitaring at me and flipping me off, and it was kind of just like, you know, it was a cool moment, and it's something that, for whatever reason, just stuck with me.
They don't do that to people that suck. You earned that in a good way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, no, that was cool.
That is – and then you guys went on to win a game.
Yeah.
So,
yes, we did. That
so
was
very pissed.
Yeah, that was a really good game. We took that early lead, and then they fought back. They had that big inning, and then, you know, Bumpus was hotter than I've ever seen a human being at the time. He had like 780 in the conference tournament, and then opening night in Corvallis was 5-for-5. Like, you couldn't get him out at the time.
That's got it, man. I don't know that feeling. I've never experienced that.
I'd be lying if I said I knew that feeling too. I mean, he literally hit like 800 in the conference tournament and then went 5-for-5 in Corvallis. Like AJ Bumpus, I don't know if you know who that is, but he was I played with him for 2 years at UC. He was a draft pick to the Reds. So yeah, he that was insane to watch.
Just unconscious.
Yeah. Everything. And it wasn't like he was getting cheap hits. I mean, he was barreling everything.
Yeah, you go 5-for-5, it's you can't get 5 cheap hits.
Yeah.
It's got to be 5 ropes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with some rapid fire here. If you could be one superhero, who would it be?
Oh, you're going to hate me for this. I don't watch. I'll just say Spider-Man. I don't know much.
You don't
watch. No, I don't. I'm not a big, you know, Marvel or DC or all that fan. So I'll go Spider-Man.
You know,
I don't know all the traits of all of them.
You know what's funny is I was the same way you were up until last year at Thanksgiving, and it was like right around the time that Disney Plus came out, and I've got two little kids, so of course we get
okay
Disney
that
Plus.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So I'm going through and I'm like, oh, all these Marvel movies are on here, and I'm like, you know what? And I was like, I had a bunch of time to kill. Everyone in the house is kind of doing their own thing, so I pull it up and I was like, all right, what was the first one? And it was Iron Man. So I'm like, I've never seen any of these movies. I'm like, I'll just watch it. We'll see what it is. And I was going to give it like 20 minutes to determine if I was actually going to watch
it. And it was pretty good.
And it was dope. And
I'd probably be the same way, but, you know, like I talked about earlier, I don't even like, not that I don't like movies or shows, but I just hate sitting down. I feel like I'm wasting time when I'm just sitting there watching a movie or a show or something.
Well, I've watched all the Marvel movies now. There's not a single one I haven't seen. I enjoyed it so much. So then my son and I would watch them, and then my daughter would watch them with me, and yeah, we had fun. So yeah, Marvel movies are good. That's good, like long bus ride stuff.
Yeah.
You'll have to get used to those real soon.
Yeah.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
I'm not doing good at this rapid fire thing.
That's all right.
Strangest thing I've ever eaten? First thing that comes to mind, and this probably isn't even strange, they used to have those like those little lollipop sucker things. They had like the little bugs in them.
Yeah, I remember
that. I had a couple of those. Yeah, we had them at school for whatever reason. But yeah, I'd say that's probably the strangest.
Well, crickets are a very healthy source of protein.
Yeah, crickets were in them. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
What's the thing you're most afraid of?
I have had a irrational fear of coyotes since I was a kid.
I mean, that's not very irrational.
No, I live in not the rural area, but pretty semi-rural area. We got a couple coyotes, but I was probably like 8 or 9, and I was walking home from a friend's house once, and we don't even have, you know, the street lights in some of the area. And I was walking on a dark road, you know, I heard ditch rustle right next to me, and next thing you know, a coyote took off, and it just scared the hell out of me. And ever since then, I've just been terrified of them.
I'm with you, man. I don't blame you. Mine would be birds.
Like birds.
Yeah. Same story, man. I was walking home. This is in the middle of the day, and a bird attacked me. Like, you know what red-winged blackbirds are?
If I look it up, I will.
So they're blackbirds that literally have, like, these orangish-red color wings. Well, they, like, it attacked me. It, like, flew out of the tree, and it was, like, all, like, pecking at me, and I was like, what?
Just having a bad day.
Yeah. Well, those things, that's what they do. They're very territorial. And I used to run a lot, like, not so much anymore, but a couple of years ago, I ran like distance running, and I would be out running, and all of a sudden, like, boom, you'd like run by one of these birds, and they would just swoop down out of their nest, and they're all over you. So yeah, when I run, if a bird flies past me, I always duck, and my heart rate always skyrockets, and then I'm like, damn it, I can't control it. Like, it just freaks me out every time.
Yeah.
What's the store or website that you shop the most?
Kroger. Does that count as a store? Is that a grocery store?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, it's a grocery store.
Yeah.
What's the fashion trend that you just don't get?
Oversized clothing.
The last one and my favorite question is, describe your dream major league debut scenario. Where's the game? What stadium? And who are you playing?
Well, just since it's kind of the, you know, local team I've always been a fan of growing up, you know, obviously now that's changed. We'll probably open it up in Detroit. We'll beat them, you know, 15-1, and I'll have 8 home runs.
Wow. Basically you hit eight solo shots.
Realistically. Same sort of scenario, but, you know, I'll hit one home run, you know, just kind of. Back in that home, I can't even say home ballpark. That's weird. But you know, just back near home.
But it's,
you know,
the hitting ballpark that you grew up going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great ballpark, by the way. I like Comerica.
Yeah. That's nice.
How far are you from Detroit?
About 40 minutes.
Did you ever go to the old Tiger Stadium?
I have not.
No.
No, I didn't.
I think, like, I didn't realize this. I watched that, the 98, the long gone summer or whatever that was called. And there were highlights of Sammy Sosa hitting home runs in Detroit at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
And for some reason, in my head, Tiger Stadium was long gone by 98, but apparently it wasn't.
Yeah, I never got to see it.
Yeah, that's a park I wish I could have seen. I've seen it in person, but it was deteriorated. It was almost that it's knocked. I don't even think it's there anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, Comerica's a nice park. So, Well, Joey, man, we covered your journey all the way from, you know, high school, little guy, all the way to, you were probably never really a little guy, but.
I wasn't a little guy, but I was pretty skinny.
Yeah. From where it all started to right now. And, man, I can tell, like I said in the beginning, people in Milwaukee are very excited about you. So I hope that we did it justice. Man, is there anything that we missed?
I don't think so. Awesome. You did a pretty good job at everything.
Well, good, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. I hope that you can play baseball very soon. As fans, we want it. I know as players, man, I know you definitely want to get back.
Yeah,
I'm
itching to get going.
Yep. So thanks a lot for coming on. I wish you the best of success and the best of health.
All right, well, thank you. No, I appreciate you having me on.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, subscribe now on iTunes, Spotify, Podomatic, Google Play, or Apple Play. If you'd like to hear more from the Turn a Pair Baseball podcast, go back in the archives and listen to any of our shows. And don't forget, get your phone out. I mentioned this earlier. If you haven't done it, get that phone out and hit subscribe. We'd love it if you subscribe and listen to more of our shows. But if you feel like we earned it, give us a 5-star review, leave us great comments, and tell your friends about the show. We even like when you send us messages on Twitter. Send us a DM. Tell us what you thought about this show, or tell us who you think we should have on future shows. We'd love to hear that too. You can find us on Twitter at TurnAPairChris, on Instagram at TurnAPairBaseballPodcast, and on YouTube by searching out TurnAPairBaseballPodcast. You can find our guest, Joey Weimer, on Twitter at JoeyWeems17 and the same handle on Instagram. Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast is written, hosted, edited, and produced by me, Chris McLean. I'd like to thank Joey for joining the show and congratulations to him again. But most importantly, I'd like to thank you for listening.